Sat pratyaya kim nu vihaya santam. Hridyesha chinta rahito hridakhyah. Katham smaramastam ameyamekam. Tasya smritis tatra dhudeva nishtha. Mrityunjayam mrityubhyashritanam. Aham matir mrityumupeti purvam. Atha svabhavadam riteshu teshu. Katham punar mrityu dhiyo vakashah. Sarvair nidanam jagato hamascha. Vachya prabhu kaschidapara shaktihi. Chitre trilokyam cha vilokita cha. Pata prakasho pyabhavat sa ekaha. Sat darshanam, vision of reality, vision of truth, vision of God, vision of self, all these translation, what you can say, vision of truth. But as I told you, that is not a vision that we have, like I have a vision of this book, not that type of vision. You have to be always mindful of that. It is just being one with oneself, that is all. Being one with oneself means experientially it is about feeling one's expansive, all-pervasive, infinite nature. Like that. Not that I'm limited or restricted to this body or any such thing. It's going beyond the body consciousness and feeling one's oneness with all things in the universe. That sort of idea is being spoken about. And the treatment, see right now, the misunderstanding or the delusion or the bondage or all such things, they are where? Only in one place. So bondage is not in my finger or my foot. Bondage is in my mind. Everything is in our mind. That will come up just now also. So the treatment has to be in the mind only. Do you know? That is true for everything. We'll see just now how nicely. So now, in the next verse, there is one reality we said. Previously I was telling you. There is one thing. Sat. Existence from which everything is carved out. From which everything is fashioned out. From which everything is woven. There is one thing from which the whole universe is woven. Mai sarvam idam protam sutre manigranaiva. Lord Krishna tells in 7th chapter. Unto me, from me, everything is woven like the thread that we saw in that crochet piece. Anyway, now if there is one thing, how do we see many? That question is taken up in a few verses. See now from number 4. We did not see yet, no? Arabhyate jiva jagat paratma.
Arabhyate jiva jagat paratma.
Tatva vidhanena matam samastam.
Tatva vidhanena matam samastam.
Idam trayam yadavaham matisyat.
Idam trayam yadavaham matisyat.
Sarvottamaham matishunyanishtha.
Sarvottamaham matishunyanishtha.
Arabhyate. In the beginning itself, or at the outset or on the onset, or whatever terms you use in English, the beginning itself, outset, onset, I don't know how many terms these. All matam, with all the different sampradayas, all the different, what is sampradaya in English?
Lineage.
Lineage, yes. All of them, the schools of thought, all of them. Samastam matam. They outline three basic entities. What is that? Jiva. Other one is Jagat. And the other one is Paramatma here. For people to remember, I tell the three J's. Three J's means Jiva, Jagat and Jagadishvara. So it is easy to remember. These three are there. They are named. Abhidaniya. They are given. Three entities, three principles are named in the beginning itself. But, okay, if three principles are named, what supports these three principles? It says, idam trayam, these three, yavat ahammati syat. Ahammati syat. As long as the individual I, that I is there, these three will be there. Because, see, the moment I say I, there's you. So in relation to who I will be saying I? I will only be saying I in relation to you, isn't it? You mean now Jagat. I is Jiva, me, the individual. And you, which is separate from me, you will be Jagat, other than me. And then when I say I, immediately I posit you. And in doing that, I ask a third question. Oh, how did this I and you come about? Now we posit some third. So this is Yavat. As long as Ahammati, that is I, is there, then there is Jagat and Jagadishvara also. This is Jiva, Jagat, Jagadishvara. All three are there. But the supreme state, Ahammati Shunya Nishtha, that supreme state of abidance in reality, is where there's ahammati shunya, there's the absence of this thought of I. When I goes away, Jagat also goes away and Jagadishvara. You cannot have all three of them. When I goes away, what happens is only Jagadishvara is left. Self is left. That supreme state is left. Nishtha. That is, yeah, that is sarvottama. It is the supreme state. Best of all. Best of all states, when this individual I goes away. Now, you will see in all of his verses, he's again and again going back to this individual I, because the individual I is the basis for all of the Tripoti. Individual I is the basis for all of bondage. Individual I is the basis for the fragmentation of reality. This individual I. And just now we'll see also how he comes up, how that individual I comes about. And about that reality, it is futile to go on arguing whether that individual reality is satyam, asatyam, sat, asat, mixture of both, or what, all such arguments. It is sukha, dukha, what? Those are only words when we say Brahman is Satchidananda, all those words, right? They're only words from our point of view, you know. We use words to describe the indescribable. How it is possible. Words themselves are finite. How they will describe something which is infinite. So he says it is useless to go on arguing about those words. And how the world has become fragmented into so many different things, it will come back just now. So let us see now about these futile arguments. Discussing, describing, or going on arguing about what is the nature of the self. That is like, you know, discussing what is in what is the taste of mango. For people who have never tasted mango, you know, none of us have tasted mangoes, and we go on discussing mangoes taste like this, mangoes taste like, well, that will do anything? It does nothing. You futile argument only. Futile discussion. Satyam rishava chididam jadam va.
Satyam rishava chididam jadam va.
Dukham sukham veti mudha vivadaha.
Dukham sukham veti mudha vivadaha.
Adrishta loka niraham pratitihi.
Adrishta loka niraham pratitihi.
Nishtha vikalpa parama khileshta.
Nishtha vikalpa parama khileshta.
Satyam va? Mrishava. Reality or our supreme state is Satyam, truth, or Mrisha, false. Well, Gurudev used to have a nice statement. You know, people ask him any question about supreme reality or about Bhagwan. Gurudev used to say, when I meet him, I'll ask him. Because anything you tell, it will fall way short of that reality. Isn't anything I tell about that reality? Words really cannot. Na tatra chakshur gacchati, na vak gacchati, says in Kena Upanishad. The eyes cannot really see. Speech really cannot reach there. It will fall so short. It is chit, idam jad va. Whether it is chit means consciousness or it is jada. Those words we use only. Futile arguments to say it is this or it is that, and how it is this and how it is that, and why it is not this and why it is that. No. Better remain silent. In maunam only. Dukham sukham va iti. It is dukha or sukha. Mudha vivada, useless discussion is it. Mudha vivadaha. But human, people say, Swamiji, but we can't help it. We have to go on talking about it. Bhagavan is like this. He's Satchitananda. He's Avyaya, Avinashi. This, that. And at one place he said, let all of these things be sadhana. But don't ever think that when I say absolute realities, Satchitananda, don't think that you are absolutely right, you know. Always leave room there to say, when I get there, I'll see. And one wonderful thing about that also, when you get there, there's nobody to see. They're like the salt doll trying to measure the depth of the ocean. So the salt doll dives in to measure the depth. Then what happens? Melts away. Now who will know the depth? That is a very peculiar thing, you see. And you tell others, when I go there, I'll see. And when I come back, I'll tell you. There's no coming back. That salt doll cannot come back. See? Therefore, the Kena Upanishad says, he who says he knows, he doesn't know. And he who says he doesn't know, he may know. Because if the person really knows, then he cannot say also. Like the salt doll that dives in. Now, what is the best state? Nishtha. Akhila ishta. That state which is desired by all. The state which is desired by all is Adrishta loka, Avikalpa, Niraham prati. That state where there is the absence of world. This best state, the most desirable state, is the state where there is the absence of world. Absence of world? Oh. You mean the world will disappear from before my eyes? Not like that. The world will disappear as a separate entity. For the realized soul, the world disappears as a separate entity. It is not that the world is something. Right now, for all of us, look. The world, I am here and the world is there. And when we get fed up with the world, we tell everybody, so let the world go to hell. Isn't it? We don't realize it. And in this text, it will be shown just now, our world is only an extension of our self, really speaking. It's an extension of ourself. So that realization is what is being spoken about. That is the most desirable state. It's not that I see a separate world. So Adrishta Loka means no separate world is seen. Avikalpa. Avikalpa means where there is no thoughts. Mind is very silent. And niraham pratitihi, where there is the absence of the thought of I, that individual I. That individual I, for Bhagwan Sri Ramana Maharishi, individual I is the culprit, the culpable one in all the crimes of bondage. He is the culpable one, individual I. He is the one that has to be gotten rid of. It's that this feeling that I am a separate, distinct, unconnected entity, that limited self. So the most desirable state by all, Akhila Ishta, is the state where there is the absence of this individual I, the absence of a separate world, and the absence of thoughts. Absence of thoughts meaning that people ask, oh, how do there be absence of thoughts? Then that person becomes non-functional. If we don't think. One father from the village, you know, he was always telling, you know, this son of mine, this boy doesn't know anything. This boy is like this, this boy is like... So he once had to go for an operation in the city. And the father took him there. And then the doctor pulled out that anesthesia, you know, in a big needle, big syringe. So the father asked the doctor, what is that? Doctor said, this is anesthesia. What is anesthesia? After I give him this, he will know nothing. That father said, why you give him that? Now also he doesn't know anything. No need to give that one. So, this human being, this I has to go, and the person feels, and here it says, avikalpa, means there should be no thoughts also. That is the best state, most desirable state, where there are no thoughts. So he said, the realized soul has no thoughts. He knows nothing. He's without any thought, means without any knowledge of anything. How he functions? So, when we say without thoughts, again, we have to understand, we're thoughtless, you see, avikalpa. Again, we have to understand, that, you see, he identifies like the whole ocean now. He becomes like the whole ocean, and the ocean sees a wave rising in me. But this wave will only descend in me just now. Again, another wave rises in me, and it will descend in me. So he identifies with the whole ocean of consciousness like this, and in the consciousness now he sees thoughts rising and thoughts going down. And so those thoughts rising and going down, they don't persecute him. They don't do anything to him. They just rise and go down. Rise and go down. Rise and go down. Like that. But in our case, when a thought comes in our mind, oh, bapre, you're sitting here. Then suddenly chai comes. Maybe I should just go outside and have some chai and come back, you know. But this is a spiritual lecture, you know, not fitting. By the time you just go through that whole train of thought, you miss two verses. When one thought comes like that, we go for a ride on those thoughts. So the thought themselves persecute and all. So this person, not that the realized soul doesn't have thought, he has thoughts, but he's identified with the ocean from which, where the thoughts are rising and dying like that. That is the idea now. You can't think that they are thoughtless, you know. No wonder they sit there and do nothing. Not like that. Avikalpa, this is most desired state, and all this useless argument. If you read Guruji's commentary, he'll tell you all the, in his commentary, he'll tell you what all different types of arguments are there. You please see, people go on arguing for different types of reasons. So, one more question which comes now. So just now, desired state is where there is no world, where there is no separation between Jiva, Jagat, and Jagadishwara. But still, we go on seeing world, we go on seeing Jiva, and we pose it also Jagadishwara. So now one question is there, that Jagadishwara, he is with form or without form? One question he picks up, that Jagadishwara is with form or without form? Lord is with form or without form? There's another big argument that rages on all the time. So what is Bhagavan's take on that? You know, I read somewhere very nicely, if men were cows, we would also think that God has horns. Whatever we think of ourselves, we think of God. Meaning to say what? We are the ones who posit some God in whichever form. Now see what he says here. This is number 6. Sarupa buddhir jagatishvare cha. Sarupa dhiratmaniya vadasti. Arupa atma yadika prapashyet.
Arupa atma yadika prapashyet.
Sadrishtireka navadhir hipurna.
Sadrishtireka navadhir hipurna.
Yavad atmani sarupa dhihi asti. As long as in our mind, I have the feeling of, I have a form. I myself have form, right? Then, tavat jagati ishvare cha sarupa buddhi asti. Then I will feel that the world is a separate thing and that Ishvara is also a separate thing and both have their own form. This is my form, that is their form, and this is the world's form and there is Ishvara's form. Means Ishvara, what form of Ishvara? I will think Ishvara is sarvajna, sarvashaktiman, sarvavyapi. He's all pervasive, all powerful, all knowing. Huh? That is the form I give to Ishvara. So as long as I hold myself as having form, do you know? This is a very profound thing. The implications are very profound, you know. People who are very suspicious by nature, they're always suspecting that other people are suspecting them. Huh? You just see whatever is in your mind, you see the same thing in the world, from very simple point of view also, I tell you. If you have a habit of always rejecting everybody, you will always be afraid of people rejecting you. You will think, just I reject this one, reject that thing, reject. When I go there, they'll reject me also. Whatever we have inside, we see that also in the world. Huh? But arupa atma, kaprapashit in the self which is without form, in self which is formless, who will see who? See, like this space here, right? This space is formless. So this piece of space here cannot see this piece of space because neither of them have form. Arupa atma kaprapashit, who will see? In a formless thing, this thing which is formless, this space here, this part is not distinguished from this part. Huh? First, it has to become distinguished. This has to become seer. So with the qualities of seer. And this has to become seen with the qualities of seen. Then only this part can see this part. But if both are uniform, undifferentiated, formless, this part cannot see this part. Who will see who? So this is what it means. Arupa atma kaprapashit. Question is asked. In a formless atma, formless self, who will see who? But the moment I assume form, this is me, individual jiva, individual ego, individual being. The moment I do that, well, I have put a form onto myself. Then I see everything else with form. So the idea is what? I should sadrishti eka anavadhi purna. That one self, which is formless, I have to go inside and merge with that. Then all these separate forms, and one more thing you have to be careful, there's no problem with forms. There's a problem with separate forms. Like for example, in this body, right? How many parts are there? Fingers are different from toes, feet are different from hands, head is different from trunk, back is different from front, right? So the body itself has so many parts, but there is a feeling of oneness with regard to this body. So if somebody drops a paperweight on your toe, you don't say, well, it is only the toe, you know. It is okay. It's only the toe. When it drops on your toe, It is as good as you got the paperweight dropped on you, isn't it? Or somebody hits you. Hey, why did you hit me? You don't never say, hey, why did you hit my hand? So the body may have different parts, but there's a feeling of oneness. In the very same way, there's no problem with the different parts of this universe. The problem is there's no feeling of oneness. We feel the parts as separate and distinct. That is where the whole problem comes. So it is not that what is being said here, that in the mind of the realized soul, where he comes to the Atma, which is arupa, without form, there will not be any distinctions. The distinctions will be there, but there will be no separateness. That is the state which is sought after. No feeling of separation. So it ends, the verse ends with this very important word, purna. He feels the experience, or he has the experience of feeling oneness with the whole, complete, total universe. So just as I'm feeling the oneness with regard to this body, this whole universe becomes the body. The whole cosmos becomes the body. Then the problem ceases. Otherwise, right now, I'm just identified with this little part. And all problems are there. And we go on arguing to show our point. But anyway, as we think ourselves to be, so we also think the Lord and the world to be. I think myself to be with parts, then the world also. That idea of the world being an extension or expansion of myself is taken up in the next verse. See, very nicely it is given. Yat panchakoshatmakamasti deham.
Yat panchakoshatmakamasti deham.
Tadantara kim bhuvanam chakasti.
Tadantara kim bhuvanam chakasti.
Deham vina pancha vidham tadetat.
Deham vina pancha vidham tadetat.
Pashyanti keva bhuvanam manantu.
Pashyanti keva bhuvanam manantu.
Panchakoshatmakam. Deham antara bhuvanam chakasti kim. It means, oh, this is very nice. Nice question is asked. So without this body, which is made up of the five elements, right? Without our body, would we ever perceive a world? That question is asked. Or how will the world be perceived? Because this body made up of the five elements is there, I'm seeing a world. I'm perceiving a world. Deham vina. Keva etat bhuvanam pashyanti. Without this body, who will see? What world? We'll follow this logic just now. Say, Bhanantu, tell. Who will see what world? Let us follow this, you'll see. You know the implications? This is so vast, so wide. One implication, very simply, is you are all in my mind only. And you can say the same thing about me. That is one implication. Let us follow a little bit. See here. Suppose my eyesight goes, right? My eyesight goes away. So, all colors will go away or not? Light and all colors will go away. I mean, 1/5 of my universe, gone. Then hearing goes, another 1/5 goes away. Then like that, one by one sense organ I take away. Then what happens to my universe? Somebody say, no, Swamiji. At least I'll have memories, you know, because mind is still there. I'll have memories of what this was like, what that color of that thing, and the beauty of that thing, and ugliness of that thing. And I'll have all these memories, so I can still go on thinking. But I'm telling all of those memories came only via these senses, isn't it? So if I had none of these senses from the beginning, what world will be there? No world. So my present world in front of me is only because is there only because I have these five senses. You see? So now you are a part of my world or not? Oh, I'm part of your world or not? And if I lose all my senses, no world is there for this person. Then a big question arises. So you mean to say, like when I go to sleep, for instance, the world disappears? Some people say, well, that sounds logical, you know. For the sleeping person, there is no world. So he said, no, that cannot be. Because I left, like for example, there's one tap is open here, right? And one bucket is under the tap. And a drop of water is falling, drop, 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 drop. So when I left it, it was just started when I went to sleep. When I got up in the morning, bucket was full. See, that world had to be there while I was sleeping. So the other Purva Pakshi said, no. That also, how you can say for sure? When I was waking, I was projecting my world. Right? Shankaracharya says, Kalpita. The whole world is Kalpita, means projected. So while I was waking before, I was projecting the world. So I projected an empty bucket. And I went to sleep. When I woke up, all I did is I projected a full bucket. Oh, why do you think that it was being filled while you were sleeping? One projection you wrapped up, and then you woke up and you gave another projection. Purva Pakshi has a point there. That might be so. In order to get away from this contingency, Vedanta says that while I was sleeping, it was still there, but this time it was there in the mind of Ishvara. Right now it is there in my mind, this universe. When I go to sleep, the universe continues, but in the mind of Ishvara. But whether it is my individual mind or the mind of Ishvara, it is still a projection of some mind. And then my mind is part of Ishvara only. You see? So the world is a projection, and it is existing only because our five senses exist. And if the five senses were to go, see, like right now, there's an infinite world, right? There could be a sixth sense perception outside, which I do not have the sense organ for. So insofar as I'm concerned, that thing doesn't exist. A sixth and a seventh and an eighth and a tenth or whatever could be there. But because I don't have a sense organ, for that, I say it doesn't exist. In the very same way, I could have been with four only out of these five. And the one-fifth of the world would have been non-existent for me. So it shows that really this world is dependent on my five senses. And as long as they're there, so deham vina pancha vidam tadetat Pashyanti keva, who will perceive without these five senses and made up of the five elements and this body? Who will see? Nobody is there to see. Tell, who will see? So the implication is that my world is me really. That is, you hear that in English all the time also, no? I am my world. And anything I really do to this world, I am doing to myself. Simple implication. Very profound though. Whatever I do to this world, I'm doing to myself. On this basis, the rishi said, no. We shouldn't inflict any wound on this world, any atrocities on the world, because I'm really doing it to myself. You see? Now, that this same inquiry is taken now, and it goes down deeper and deeper. Same inquiry of this world and senses and mind and I thought. It goes deeper and deeper now. Let's see this thing. Shabdadi rupam bhuvanam samastam. Shabdadi satte indriya vritti bhasya.
Shabdadi satte indriya vritti
Satya Indriyanam Manaso Vashe Syat. Mano Mayam Tad Bhuvanam Vadamaha. Mano Mayam Tad Bhuvanam Vadamaha. Vadamaha means we say. We say who? Siddhanti. Vedanta Siddhanti says, the one who is the proponent of Vedanta. What he says? Manomayam etat bhuvanam. This whole world is nothing but my mind at play. Nahyasta vidya manasoti rikta. Bhagavan Shankaracharya says in Vivek Churamani also that other than the mind, there is no such thing as avidya. The mind itself is avidya. And when the mind shines, everything else shines. Tasmin vinashte sakalam vinashtam. When the mind dissolves, everything dissolves. Vijrimbite smin sakalam vijrimbate. When the mind shines, everything shines. When the mind dissolves, everything dissolves. So the mind is the world. And that is concluded in this verse. Shabdadi rupam bhuvanam samastam. The world for us is nothing but sight, sound, taste, touch, all of these things. Like for example, right now, I am seeing colors and forms, right? That is because I have eyes. Well, let us take any one object, an apple, right? So I'm seeing a form of that apple. I'm seeing a color of that apple, right? So that is because of the eyes. Then I'm touching that apple, it is smooth. That is because of touch. Then I smell it. Oh, it smells like it came from India. I smell that apple. Oh, nice, you know. So that's because of the nose. Then I tap it. Oh, I take a bite and I hear crunch. Aha, sounds like apple only. Now, that last one, taste. Taste it also. Oh, it tastes like apple. Smells like apple. Looks like apple, tastes like apple, sounds like apple, then it must be apple. So, other than these five things in that apple, is there any sixth thing? No. There is nothing else. That apple is only made up of my five senses, really. There is no sixth thing there. And if I remove one by one, that apple disappears. That apple has taste, it has texture, it has name and form, like that. Shape and form and all. And name comes after the five have come together. If no five has come together. See, what is the name of this? What? Nothing has come together, isn't it? And what is the name of this? Well, there is nothing there. Only after these five have come together and formed an object, then a name comes after that. So if the five are not there, and nothing to name, what do you name? You call it nothing also. That is also a name, you could say. But nothing is nothing. So the five of them form every object in the world. Now, on these five sense organs also now are enlivened by the mind. They are tentacles of the mind. So my whole world now is in my mind. And mind also now has its basis and foundation somewhere else. Where is that basis and foundation of mind? Now see next verse.
Dhyasahodeti dhyastameti. Lokastato dhi pravibhasya eshaha. Dhi loka janma kshaya dhama purnam.
Dhi loka janma kshaya dhama purnam.
Sadvastu janma kshayashunyamekam.
Sadvastu janma kshayashunyamekam.
Aham dhiya saha esha lokaha pudeti. When that, this whole universe is there because of sense organs. Sense organs function only because of mind. And mind also now has its basis and foundation in aham dhiya. Aham dhiyaha, the I thought. If no I thought is there, the mind also will have no. Let me tell you a little bit about this I thought. Antakarana, you know. Antakarana chatushtaya is mana, chitta, buddhi, ahankar. In this antakarana, chit, consciousness is shining. So when it shines on the mind, that time, when it means when it shines on the mind portion of the antakarana, that time emotions are there. When it shines on the intellectual portion of the antakarana, that is called as thoughts. When it shines on the ahankar portion, that is called as individual ego. That is, that individual ego is really the basis for that antakarana. Individual ego, ahankar. Their individuality is born. So that individual ego, ahankar, is the basis for that whole antakarana. If there is no I, feeling of, you know, individuality in that antakarana, it is as good as having no antakarana. Because we say, my intellect, my mind, my memory. I'm concerned with myself. That is ahankar speaking. I'm concerned with my welfare, my likes and dislikes. It's always my. He is the basis for the rest of the antakarana. Whether it is my memory, see, chitta, it will be my memory. Emotions, my mind. Thoughts, my thoughts. He's like the one without which the other three cannot exist. But he could still exist all by himself also. Just me. Everybody else, get lost. I'll be here all alone. Like that. He still is there. That individual I. So only when he is there, then we can have intellect. Otherwise, if there is no I, then who will be thinking? If there is no I, who will be feeling emotions? So he's the gang leader. Gangster I. And these guys are all his subordinates. He's the boss. Grand Poobah. Whatever you call him. So that I is the basis and foundation for the mind. The mind is the basis and foundation for the senses. Senses are the basis and foundation for the whole prapancha. The world made up of the five elements. And the five sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha and all. So now, if this universe has to go, because just now you were talking about the best is alokita, where there is no world. It means to say, where there is no separate world, distinct separate world. If that world is to vanish as a separate entity, the I thought has to vanish as a separate entity. It is the I which is the basis and foundation of the whole thing. So that I has to go away. See? So, dhiya saha, esha loka udeti. When that I is there, aham dhiya, that the whole world rises. And dhiya astam, idam jagat, hi astam. The world itself goes. The example will be given in sleep. In sleep there is no I, so world goes. When I comes back, world comes back, you see. Tataha dhi. Pravibhasya esha lokaha. It is because the I thought shines, the whole world shines. The whole world shines. I thought is the whole world and it ends when the abode of this I thought, dhamma. Dhamma means the abode of the I thought, the is sought after. When I look for this I thought, Where is it? Its abode means to say, from where does it arise and from where does it descend? When I start looking at this I thought, then I come to discover that one self, where that is Eka Purna Sadvastu. Eka Purna Sadvastu, that one full, complete, total reality, which is Janmakshaya Shunyam. See, I thought is not Janmakshaya Shunyam. Janmakshaya Shunyam means it is devoid of any rising and descending. Rising and descending, birth and death. But the I thought is subject to this, isn't it? Because I thought is not always there. Like, for example, when I go to sleep, it is not there. When I wake up, it comes back. Early morning, it comes, first thing. And late night, it is last thing also that goes. So I thought is there sometimes, sometimes not there. So there's Janma and Kshaya. Janma, Kshaya. But the one Purna Self has no Janma and Kshaya. So it is called as Janma Kshaya Shunyam, devoid of any such thing. So I have to sit down now and look from where is this I coming? This I is coming from that supreme abode. What is called the Purna Sattvastu here. It's arising from that one self. Just like you have to imagine yourself being the ocean now, and this wave is rising, wave is descending, wave is rising. Now see how many times this I thought, how many days we sleep. So if I live for 80 years, multiply by 365 days, so many days this I has gone and come back, gone and come back. But going and coming from where? Purna Sadvastu is going and coming from that pure self, which is total and complete. So I am not the I am the one Purna Sadvastu, from where the I is coming and going. That is the idea. I have to sit and look at the coming of the I, and or look at the I, and from where it is coming and going, then it will dissolve. Actually, one good thing about that. Looking in Vedanta is the most powerful sadhana you can do. Observing, sakshi bhav. That is antakarana upahita chaitanya sakshi. In meaning to say what? To sit and watch the whole drama without being affected by the drama. That is called sakshi. So sit and watch the whole drama without, even the mind, the drama of the mind itself. Forget about the drama outside. That is easy. The drama of the mind is attached to this thing, running to that thing, desiring this thing. So many different types of things it is going on, engaging in. So sit and watch that drama of the mind itself. Let it do. See, we are saying watching, The moment you condemn any thought in the mind, any negative thought that comes, what is the matter with this mind? Only when I sit for meditation, that time only I start thinking of pizza. Or some other thing, right? Or I was not thinking of pizza or anything before. When you sit there, and you know, the jagat is like this. When you sit for meditation, that time only some neighbor, they put that chonk, you know. That, what do you call that? Seasoning on that. And that seasoning thing smells so good. And then you start thinking, now I sat for meditation, only they put that? Tarka, yeah. Then you start thinking, this jagat is conspiring against me. Bhagwan, you're playing some leela. You don't want me to discover myself, huh? Now see what you're going into some. When you sit there, you're going into a long train of thought. And one thought leads to another. And after half an hour, then you realize, why did I come here? You ask. Then you realize you have gone. Have you found yourself doing that? You do it so often when you're reading. 10 pages gone, then you realize you don't know a thing that happened in those 10 pages. So you go back now. You try to... What happened? Because here you're seeing that Dorothy went to Southern California. Huh? Dorothy went to Southern California. You don't know what happened, no? How she went there? You go back and try to find, because the mind had gone. So in this Sakshi Bhav we are talking about, it doesn't matter what vile and wicked thought even comes there, don't judge that thing. No, why this wicked thought has gone? Don't ask also. It has come. Bas, you watch it. Guruji used to say, I haven't heard him saying lately, but it's a very nice thing he used to say long ago, you know, when I first heard him. He said, you should learn to be a postman. Postman? In the post office, when he said that example, I immediately it struck a chord in me, because at one time I used to actually do that. I used to work in the post office. So what is it? Any letter that comes, the postman takes a stamp. There used to be a stamp in the old. Now machines do that. But in the old days, there used to be a stamp. See that stamp? Now you don't go on reading that letter to see what address, where it is going, this, that, who sent it, and you know. All you do, put a stamp, that date and all, and keep putting it there. So any thought that comes before the mind, if it is come, it will. If it has come, it will also go. That's law. Whatever comes will go. What we start doing, we desire that it goes. Now it should go. That you have, it has caught you. If you are doing, I am desiring. You come. Why don't you go? The moment you do that, you have been caught by that thought. Or you ask, why did you come now all of a sudden? Any question you ask, any desire you, or any judgment you make, this is a bad thought. This one is, then I am waiting for a guru one to come. Moment you do any such thing, you are caught. So absolutely no judgment, absolutely no desire. It has come. Full stop. So you watch. In that way, this Sakshi Bhav is developed. The I will disappear only by this thing. So we have to go on practicing this Sakshi Bhav for the I to drop away. Otherwise, see, don't think that when he says, we ask the question, from where is this I coming? It doesn't mean that you go on talking. It just means you go on looking. From where is the I coming? Not talking. I'm just looking. When the I goes, the foundation for the mind goes. And the mind, which is the foundation for the senses, that goes. And the foundation, the senses are the foundation for this world. The person goes into samadhi. Nirvikalpa samadhi. That is the state of pure being. Then he comes out. He comes out again. So that practice has to be done over and over and over. And until one gains what is called as nishtha. Nishtha means a firm abidance in that state. Then all the distinctions that we know about, the Triputi, Jiva, Jagat and Jagadishwara, they all go away. Now, in the spiritual path, you know, we encounter so many things called as rituals. So people still ask, what about all of these rituals and all? Do they have any purpose at all? Are they of any use? Bhagwan also addresses this, because I have heard many times people ask Guruji this question also. People used to ask Gurudev this question. Is this ritual? Because here you are talking about sitting there, Sakshi Bhav. So what about all these rituals and things which we do then? Sakshi Bhav, you cannot be doing rituals. No? Imagine you're sitting for meditation there. Om Indraya Swaha Idanna Mama. Meditate. Om Agneya Swaha Idanna Mama. Meditate. But who does like that? Either you do that or you do this, isn't it? So do they have a place? Then he says, here now. Bhavantu saddarshana sadhanani.
Bhavantu saddarshana sadhanani.
Parasya nama kritivi sampariyaha.
Parasya nama kritivi sampariyaha.
Sadvastuni prapta tadatma bhava.
Nishthaiva saddarshanamityavehi.
Bhavantu, let them be. Bhavantu means let them be. What? Saddarshana sadhanani. Let all of these rituals. What? Pariyaha. Sapariyaha. Sapariyaha means all these rituals which we do. All ritualistic things which we engage in. Let them be. Sapariyaha bhavantu saddarshana sadhanani. That will be the anvaya. It means to say, all the rituals we engage in, let them be a means or sadhana towards sat darshan. Why he's telling this line, you know? People think that these rituals and all things that we do, they're an end in themselves. And never want to give them up. Everything in this universe is a means, actually. There is nothing in the universe which is not a means. Everything is a means to one end. But we come and we get engaged in some means so strongly that that becomes an end in itself. And so many things we get caught up with those means as though they are ends in themselves. That's a big, big problem of human beings. And then we forget any other end. The greatest end of human life and all. As Bhagwan Sri Ram is telling in Purajana Gita, he says that the only one end is there. Sadhana dhamma moksha kara dwara. We saw last night, no? That all of the things that we engage in through this body, they are only meant for one end. Moksha. The body is a doorway to moksha. One! How simple? See, I tell you this human being, when you tell a simple thing, he doesn't like. He only like complicated things. Huh? One fellow went to the pharmacy and he said, I want, please give me some acetyl salicylic acid. What? Acetyl salicylic acid? You mean you want some aspirin? He said, yes, I could never remember that name. So you tell a simple name, aspirin, he cannot remember. This long name, he likes. So one goal only. One goal. But he likes, I don't know what he, nowadays some words have become in vogue and all. You know what is the word? Multitasking. So he likes multiple goals, I think. Simultaneously, he does this, he does that, he wants to do so many things. And all of them become goals in themselves. But all goals, only one goal is there. Very simple thing. All these rituals also should not be taken as ends in themselves. They are all means. Sadhanani. Sadhanani means means. So what goal? Sat darshanam. Now look here. One more thing about means and goals. Every means has its limitations or not. At some point, you will have to drop every means. Like you came with your car here, right? No, you could not come with your car to this lecture theater. Lecture hall, isn't it? You have to leave it somewhere. That is the means for getting here. But you have to leave it somewhere there. And then you have to come. So that means of car for getting here has its limitations. You may say, I went with my car to the lecture. But it's just roughly speaking, isn't it? From there, you drop the car and you use another means to come here. Every means like that has its limitation. And at some point, every means will have to be dropped. And let me tell you something. Either you drop it or it will drop you. Every means is like that. And this body also. So that's why Bhagwan Sri Ram is telling, sadhana dham. This body is an abode through which sadhana can be done. The body itself is a means. But goal is only one. One goal. So here, let all of these sadhanas, let all of these rituals which we do be our sadhana for sadarshana. Parasya nama kritivihi. means to reach the supreme goal, sadvastuni prapta tadatma bhava, and the identification, disidentification with the limited equipment and identification with the supreme equipment. That is what is required. And through all of the sadhanas, including all of these rituals, we reach that state. Nishtha eva saddarshanam iti avehi. Come to know, please understand, avehi. Avehi means please understand, please know. That state of saddarshana is where I disidentify with this and I identify with the expansive, limitless self. I disidentify with this little body, little mind, which I am so fond of. Oh, bapre. We are so fond of our little self. And we go on embellishing and decorating and aggrandizing and what is that? Building and fortifying and oh. And we prepare ourselves, we say. With so many things, we prepare ourselves so that when we meet others, we'll be able to, you know, make my little self shine out, make it stand out, stand up. All sorts of things we do for this little self. Means physical and psychological self. We go on fortifying it from so many, in so many ways. But and in the end, what we have to do, all our sadhana is meant to disidentify with the whole thing. That bhav, I should identify with Ishvara, or the reality. Not only to go on identifying with this. Sadvastuni papta tadatma bhava. Identifying with that supreme reality. Okay, now time also has elapsed. We will see. Again, he takes us on this path of inquiry. Next verse also. We are not going fast enough. We have to disidentify with time also. We'll see this now tomorrow. Because evening is Pura Jana Gita. Nobody has brought ching ching ching, that majira. Nobody has brought? Okay. Okay. See, there's one big difference between Trinidad crowd and America crowd. If it were Trinidad crowd, there'll be a symphony of it going on there. Yeah. This is also good, that is also good. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.
Hari Om. The next lecture on Saddarshana will be 7.